Welcome to The Author Show, where we feature new authors and books, from fiction to self-help and everything in between. You'll find it all at theauthorshow.com. That's theauthorshow.com. And now let the show begin.
Hi, this is The Author Show, and I'm your host, Linda Thompson. Before I introduce our guest, just a quick reminder that selected interviews are available in our iPhone app, which can be downloaded in the App Store, and our app name on all platforms is The Author Show. Our book is A Girl with a Knife, a historical adventure of a woman who disguised herself as a man in the 19th century England in order to study in medical school. Authored by our guest, Alina Rubin, this historical fiction novel has some very interesting twists and turns. Alina, welcome to The Author Show.
Thank you.
Alina, will you please give us a quick overview of A Girl with a Knife?
Absolutely. So my main character, Eloise, she's only 15 years old and finds herself in an impossible position. Her mother has died giving birth to her brother. Her father is abusive and she doesn't feel safe at home anymore. She has a few friends, but they are fair weather friends. They only want to do some embroidery with her and never talk about anything serious. So she runs away, changes her name to Ella, and decides to be a governess. But before she can get to London and find herself a job, she is on the ship and somebody is injured. And the surgeon is performing the amputation. And when Ella sees it, she finds herself that she must help. Like, she takes the sailor's arm of as the doctor cuts off the other arm. That sparks her interest. She wants to help people. And she asks the surgeon for a job, but first he refuses. But eventually he takes her to his home in London and asks her to be assistant to his sister, who is a midwife and an herb healer.
Well, I believe A Girl with a Knife is the first in your Hearts and Sails series. How many books do you have planned for the series? And will Ella be featured in each?
I do plan to follow Ella in her growth and adventures. I have about 5 drafts in some form or shape. So I think at least 5 books about Ella and maybe some spin-off books about other characters. For example, little Abigail, an orphan who Ella treats in the hospital. I'm planning a book about her as well.
How interesting. So does A Girl with a Knife end in a cliffhanger, or can it be read as a standalone?
It can be read as a standalone, but also I think a lot of people have responded. They are very excited about Ella's future adventures.
Will you give us a short teaser of book 2?
After Ella finishes her education, she wants to put her new skills to the use, but she can't find a job. And the only thing she can think of is to join her mentor, Dr. Pesh, on the ship. He is a ship surgeon during the war. And she comes to the ship full of men who are not very welcoming and very suspicious of her, and says that she's, as a woman, is a bad luck on a ship, leave alone a surgeon who is going to take care of the wounded. Then her mentor is ill, and she has to take on the role of the ship surgeon and take care of these people while they really want her off the ship.
Boy, that sounds complicated. So where did the idea for Ellie's story generate?
During the pandemic, I had a little more time, as I heard that many other authors did as well. And I started watching historical fiction shows. I never really had much time to watch television, but suddenly I found myself watching episodes after episodes. And one old British show called Hornblower just enthralled me. It's a series about British ships, about the English and French fighting, and there are like no female characters in that show at all. And suddenly I imagined this young woman who would be a surgeon on this ship. And that idea just I found it so captivating. I just had to get up and start writing. And I have never even thought about being a writer before, but I just found it so fun that it was taking me away to a different time, a different place, and kind of playing with this character who is so interesting and brave and what she's learning. And I've had to do some research to do it, to write, you know, what surgery she would be doing. And I found that research is interesting.
A Girl with a Knife is your debut novel. Do you think there's any other author who may have an influence on your writing style?
I was a reader from a very young age. I enjoyed Dickens. I enjoyed the Jules Verne and many other adventure authors. Maybe that's what I was thinking when I was writing. I also recently read several books by Audrey Blake, which is a pen name for two women writers. They also write medical fiction in 19th century and give a lot of details of the surgery and medicine. I enjoy their books and I read a lot of the sources that they talked about and how they wrote their books. So I think they definitely had an influence on me.
What kind of research did you do to ensure the medical accuracy or believability in your story?
I read biographies of doctors of the time, such as John Hunter and Joseph Lister, and very interestingly, James Barry, who was a woman hiding as a man for all his career, and only at his death, people found out that this was a woman all along. Also, I read articles from 1840s and 1850s, where a doctor would publish in the Lancet or the Provincial the story about the patient that he was taking care of, and the doctors were so detailed at the time. They would say exactly how many ounces of blood they have taken or which instruments they use, the kind of the shade of the patient's face, things like that. Very interesting details. And it was interesting to weave such details into the book.
I think so, but you had to have a strong stomach, didn't you? Well, when you first considered your story, what came first, the plot or your characters?
First, it was the character. I really had to see her and hear her, envision what she's wearing, know what she wants, what she's afraid of, what keeps her up at night. And once I had this living, breathing character and some other characters that were important to the story, then I would think about the plot. And first, I would kind of write the stories that were on my mind, but to weave it all into one novel, I looked into Jessica Brody's Save the Cat Writes a Novel. That's a method of plotting. And I found that very helpful to put together a full novel with all the roller coaster ride your main character has to go through.
Well, is Ella modeled after a real person or is she pure from your imagination?
She is purely from my imagination, but I'm very glad that I found a real person who has done something like her, which is James Barry. Because that kind of made me understand that this is believable. Yes, women sometimes at the time would disguise themselves as men to take on jobs that they were not allowed to take.
You mentioned before that you never thought about writing before. So even as a child, you didn't write and tell stories and you just all of a sudden one day decided I'm going to write a novel?
As a child, I did. I was a good storyteller. I won a writing contest in eighth grade. I wrote some really nice short stories in eighth grade. But after eighth grade, all the writing that I had to do was very academic, like research or discussing a novel without, you know, just writing, being creative of writing fiction. Then I went into technical writing, also very strict borders of how you're supposed to be writing. So writing creatively, I really have not done between eighth grade and a year ago.
Well, do you think your story is written to make us think, or is it just written for pure fantasy and escapism?
I think it does have parts that make you think. One, there is mention of real people who have contributed to medicine. So there are things that you can learn and probably some people you have not heard of, because many women who help progress of medicine have been kind of erased from history. And when I found them, I tried to feature them in my book. Second is, I think it has a lesson about truth, because Ella has a great reason to disguise herself, but she's living a lie. And it's hard on her. Every day she's scared that somebody will see how she walks or talks or she says the wrong thing and she will be discovered. While being a first woman doctor, that sounds impossible at the time. She would be a trailblazer, but maybe the hard truth sometimes makes more sense than living a lie for years or for ages.
Who do you see as the ideal reader for Girl with a Knife?
I find that ideal readers are usually women 45 to 50 years old, because most of the emails and messages that I get are from that group. But I also found that men enjoy the story, teenagers like the story. And I really love hearing that sometimes I get an email from a reader saying that I've enjoyed this story and I'm going to give it to my 17-year-old daughter. Or sometimes a young woman saying, "Now I think my mom is going to like this book too. And I really enjoy this kind of family connection." I also love book clubs. I've visited some, and so a wide range of women between 20, 50, or 60 or older, enjoying the book and having a great discussion about it.
What would you say has been the most rewarding experience since publishing your book?
Hearing from the readers. One time, one email just brought me to tears. One lady said that she was in the hospital, her husband was having an operation, and while she was in the waiting room, she started reading my book. And she said it kind of took her away, for the hours went so much faster for her. And I was just was so appreciative that she reached out to me after and told me this. So to me, definitely hearing from the readers who are, come from so many places that I've never been to, but my book somehow has been there. I have very much enjoyed it, and it's so rewarding.
I loved your book cover. It says a lot without saying much. Who developed your book cover?
It was a Ukrainian company called Get Covers, and it was really great working with them. It didn't start out so well. When I sent them my idea of a young woman holding a scalpel, they sent me back this gray nurse with like blood on her dress. And it was like, no, this is like for horror story, not for historical fiction. So I had to go, we kind of went back and forth and figured out how she will be dressed. And then I showed the cover to some book clubs and I wanted to hear opinions, and people pointed out they didn't see the letters very well, or how she was holding the knife, the scalpel. It didn't look, they couldn't see what she's holding. So kind of their feedback, we finalized and finished this cover. And luckily, we finished this book and the cover right before the invasion in Ukraine, which was so heartbreaking. Oh. I kept in touch with the artists. They are still in business somehow. I do not know how they do it. I'm from Ukraine myself. I was born there. And it was so difficult. I could be launching the book and I was wanted to really enjoy it. But at the same time, the city where I grew up was being destroyed that day.
Oh, that's so sad. So what would you like readers to remember when they finished A Girl with a Knife?
I think I'd like them to remember Ellis Courage, how she's in so many ways a trailblazer and doing things that were so difficult for people at the time, and finding a way, whether she has to kind of sometimes hide or when she kind of admits who she is and does her best to be a woman who has skills and to show what's possible for a young woman at any time or any age.
Elena, will you please read a short excerpt from A Girl with a Knife for us?
Chapter 1, England near Newcastle, early 1800s. The doctor's carriage had arrived more than 8 hours ago, according to the clock above the fireplace. The pendulum, in a wave-like motion, dismissed each second without a care. Eloise paced the length of her chamber as if she were a prisoner in a cell. Her maid, Ivy, and her governess, Miss Sampson, checked on her from time to time and had already brought her breakfast and dinner. They reminded her to be patient and to stay out of the way. She obediently remained in her room and did not pester anyone with her questions. A few times she thought of throwing something at the clock to make it tick faster. An hour ago, two midwives rushed past her room, carrying basins with water, their faces strained with tension. Mother's veils chilled her body. To calm herself, Eloise imagined rocking the baby in her arms, like carrying 14-year-old big sister she would be soon. The scream ceased for several minutes, hallelujah. With her pulse beating in her ears, she listens for the baby whimpering. When a quarter of an hour had passed, and with no discernible cry from her mother or the baby reaching her ears, her stomach lurched. Unable to wait any longer, she bunched her skirts and crept towards her mother's bedroom. She passed through the corridors, by maids washing floors and the midwives with their heads bent together, whispering to each other. As she reached the door and got a glimpse of the scene inside, a blood-curdling scream left her lips. Her mind registered the blood on the linens and her mother's ghost-like face. And the doctor, what was he going to do with that knife? The hand of their valet, Mr. Lewis, circled her arm, dragging her away. You don't want to see this, miss. His voice was gentle but firm. She struggled from his steel grip. Why was there all that blood? What's happening? Instead of an answer, he called to her maid, Ivy, please stay with your mistress in her bedroom. Guarded by Ivy, a feisty woman in her 30s, Ellie stared at the clock and counted to herself every minute that passed. 10 minutes, 11 minutes, 13 minutes. Ivy tried to distract her with chatter, but she ignored the woman. Another carriage came to the door. Reverend Father Fletcher descended and was ushered in by the butler. Please God, no, she prayed silently. until someone confirmed her fears, it would not be reality. Miss Sampson shuffled in, her eyeglasses were wet with tears. Miss, please take courage. It was God's will to take your mother and your brother into heaven. She shook herself, hoping against hope that she would wake from this nightmare. Her tongue failed. Nothing seemed adequate to put her pain into words. Her mother, who drew landscapes with her, who comforted her through the night she was ill, who desired to give her a sibling at last. Her mother's face glowed like a tea rose, and her olive green eyes sparkled with joy, looking deep within as if she could see the soul she was soon birth. Someone who was Eloise's universe could not live this life with such abruptness, not even an embrace or a goodbye for her daughter.
Oh my gosh, how heartbreaking. I can't imagine being a woman in that time and not being allowed to know anything. That just seems awfully cruel. So now I want to know, where can we learn more about you and where can we purchase A Girl with a Knife?
You can go to my website, alinarubinauthor.com. You will learn more about me, my book and upcoming books, which I hope will publish soon. And also my blog, A Girl on Adventure, where I talk about my writing and different adventures and feature interesting women in history. And you will find links to online retailers as well as bookstore.org, which is for indie stores. I hope you are supporting indie stores as well.
We've been talking with Alina Rubin, author of A Girl with a Knife. Alina, I've really enjoyed talking with you today and learning more about Ella's journey. When you publish your next book in the series, will you please come back and chat with us again?
I would love to.
What an exquisite storyline. So unusual and thought-provoking. A lot of research has gone into A Girl with a Knife, enabling the author to paint a super picture of the past. I could imagine the scenes easily. A Girl with a Knife is an inspiring, captivating, and informative read. I'm looking forward to joining Ella on her journey in the rest of the series. Well, if that compilation of reviews and this interview has you wanting more, go to alinarubinauthor.com and order your copy today. And when you finish reading, don't forget to post your review. And please share this interview with your friends so that they too may become acquainted with our author. And remember, The Author Show may be accessed at any time at theauthorshow.com. Plus, selected interviews can also be found on Google Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, Amazon Music, and many more. Whether you're an author who would like to be featured, or a reader in search of new books, theauthorshow.com is a really great place to start.
Thanks for listening to The Author Show. Find out more about authors and their work at theauthorshow.com. Theauthorshow.com. Tune in next time to another great author on The Author Show.